Apparently, my measurements were wrong.
Oh, no.
And now I'm running a 50mm spacer.
Yo!
What is up, everybody? Welcome back.
This is the Late Night Motor Club.
The only podcast you care about. I'm Alex.
I'm Steven.
And I'm Tyler.
Whoa!
Whoa!
Welcome back.
Yeah.
This is episode 3. Yeah, what have you guys been up to this week since episode 2?
Well, take the floor. You're already talking. You're the one who's got stuff done.
My car's done. Kinda. It's visually done, but there's still like some height sensor adjustments and some clearance things I got to do. But other than that, it's...
So to all you TikTokers that are saying it's not done.
Yeah, bro. It's... It didn't take 8 years. Stop commenting that. But how's your scanning going?
Well, not much has changed since last week. So to all you TikTokers or guys commenting, are you done yet? No.
He is not.
So yeah, it's a long process. It's a lot of logistics, especially given that it's not a simple way to do things, especially given that I'm going the production route with it where I'm trying to make it as legit as possible. And it's a lot of logistics with it, finding the right people to work with, finding the right way to do things, budgeting, all that. It goes a long way, and it's time with it to do it right.
Definitely. And one thing I will kind of say, circling back to Alex's car, your car looks great.
So, yep.
Thanks.
Space coupe.
Yeah, space coupe.
It's stressful. That's all I'll say.
Yeah.
For right now, until I get used to having an aggressive car again, it's a lot. But... You know,
yeah.
Live and you learn. What about you, Tyler?
So I did something very exciting this weekend. I put some very expensive seats in my car. Mm-hmm. I have full carbon Sparco seats, leather Alcantara. They look great.
And they look amazing.
They look almost like, I don't know, they look like made for that car. It's like a perfect fit.
It's perfect fit as far away as we can get from that. I spent probably a few hours this weekend, more than I'd like to admit, trying to fit seats into a car, unfortunately.
It's the name of the game,
dude. It's a little embarrassing.
It is, yeah.
Yeah,
but
it doesn't take 30 minutes to put in seats into a car, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Unless it all depends.
Yeah, 4 bolts turned into 4 hours.
But speaking of all of us taking forever to do things that take a long time, I think that brings us into what we're going to talk about today.
Exactly.
Budgeting for car builds.
Budgeting and why it takes so long. Why the three of us have taken so long to even remotely come close to getting our cars in a drivable condition.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And that is... budgeting for your build.
Yeah, I mean, I used to budget. I don't budget no more, but
big flex, I
think. I mean, not really, just me being a psychopath, but I think we have some good insight on maybe helping some like younger viewers maybe describe our first like attempts at builds. We're all kind of budget builds between all of us, and I don't know, I think...
Yeah, because I will say the first time I built my car, I did make mistakes, and those mistakes cost me because I paid twice.
Yeah, shout out Verstone.
Well, with like my first build and exactly that, budgeting with it, I was still in high school or first year of college. I didn't want to spend a ton of money, but I wanted the coolest stuff, so I didn't spend a lot of money. And I just spent a ton of money at the same time on stuff that like I didn't last.
Yeah. You try to save and cut corners where you're like, oh, I don't need necessarily this part. And then a year down the line, you're like, oh, I got to buy it again. And then you got to buy the real one. And then it's, your budget bill can turn into triple, quadruple what you think just because stuff doesn't work.
Yeah, definitely. So my word of advice for any newcomer into the scene or somebody who's planning on building their car now, I would say if you're planning whatsoever to build your car and you have any idea remotely of what you want on there, go search, deep dive in on the interwebs and find all of the parts that you want, all of your favorite things, and find out what the price is. Add them into your cart, total it all together, and when you look at that price and your eyes are all wide, triple that.
Yeah.
Double it for
sure. With with that as well, it's something where, yeah, that cheaper pipe part might be super appealing because the cost is lower. But you also have to remember, why is it cheaper? There's always going to be a reason. That might be the quality. That mm-hmm. might be how it's made. All those are accounted for in that cheaper cost, and there's a reason why that more expensive part is the price it is. You're paying for quality. You're paying for what that part is. Of course, there's going to be parts that are, I still think, are too expensive, but there's going to be the reason why there's cheaper parts, and there's going to be a reason why there's more expensive parts. It's just the name of the game, and it's a matter of, are you willing to spend a little bit more money, save a little bit more, spend, let's say, an extra 2 months saving for that part that you really want, or are you just going to spend half as much on a part that
is just gonna
get you by, but that's not actually what you want?
You don't even like it. Good parts aren't cheap. Cheap parts aren't good. That's how it goes.
I like that one.
I stole that from somebody. but by no means are we saying that you have to have like the most fancy, expensive everything. We're more saying like. No. If you have in your head like an image for your car and you're like, oh, I want that, and then you look at the price and you're like, oh, that's way too much, instead of maybe sacrificing what you actually want and getting the cheaper thing so you can have it faster, it's all about just waiting, dude. Just however long it takes you to save up, just wait. It's not the end of the world.
Well, yeah. Before we move into the patience aspect of the things.
Yeah, I'm jumping ahead here.
There's also the budgeting side where it's budgeting a build where it's like, if you have the goals of creating this fully in-depth build and you have this checklist of all these things you want to do, budget accordingly. List out the parts, list out the costs, make it in a way like a spreadsheet of what you're going to be spending money on. Like, it's... in a way, budgeting financials in terms of how much money you're making, how much you're spending on a monthly basis. Instead of spending every like cent of money that's coming in directly on car parts before thinking of what you're going to spend the next month, mm-hmm. budget it. Plan out what you're going to be spending your money on, even if it's a matter of your basic general needs that you spend money on like every month. Budget it all out. It doesn't hurt to be organized in terms of what you're spending your money on, so that way you could plan ahead, and that way you know that you're going to have enough money 8 months from now to buy this thing that you're going to have, because you know how much money you're making, you know what you're spending on. It pays to be organized and thorough with your life.
In a prime example of this, relating it into the car scene and this whole thing of budgeting your things or budgeting for your build, is that if you're spending all the money that you're making right now and you're sacrificing the part that you want to get, we'll say a cheaper version of that part, more often than not, the quality is going to be a little bit less than what you anticipated on getting, mm-hmm. right? And what needs to be in account is for if those quality of parts don't live up to the same quality as your part and they break. And now you have to either go back to parts that you no longer have, because let's face it, when you're learning and you take off one part, you throw it in the trash and you put your new part on. And when it's broken, you're like, ooh.
I really wish I had that old one right now.
Really, really wish that trash didn't get picked up on a Friday and it's now Monday.
Yeah. But speaking of like budget stuff, like what would you guys say was like your first thing that you bought that was you sacrificing? Like, give an example.
Big mistake. I'll go off my first one. And I ended up spending three times. And the reason being is because when I first started building my Genesis coupe, I had no intentions of building a show car. I wanted to build a drift car, and I wanted to drift it. And in the heart of trying to be a purist drift car, which in that's what I was calling myself, but in reality it was a budget
build.
Before
you even drifted?
Yeah. Right. Was welding my diff.
Oh, okay.
Okay. You want to know what happened? I pulled the whole differential apart, welded the diff together. When I put it back in, there's a huge learning curve. I had no idea that when you pull the differential out and the gears, if you don't put it back in the same way, they don't line up correctly.
Yeah. Doesn't work.
It doesn't work, or they break.
Okay.
So then I bought another, because I had no money, because I spent it all on welding this diff. I had to then go buy a diff from a junkyard, from a wrecked Genesis coupe, and then I didn't pull it apart. I just pulled off the rear housing, welded that diff, And then that...
okay.
Oh, my gosh.
And that diff was great. I drifted, right? And I was like, oh, it's going to be fine. It's going to be just like a posi rear end because that's what I should have done in the first place. My tires were gone.
Yeah.
In the
yeah.
next 2 months.
Yeah.
And I need to buy new tires. And I was like, oh, I can't keep buying tires. Yeah. So this was just like a whole cyclical cycle of burning tires. Oh, but my only option to fix this is to buy an expensive differential.
Yeah.
Because now I only have a welded diff.
Especially with, like, at the time, that was like a newer car. And trying to figure that stuff out is,
yeah,
you know, not fun.
Well, that's a perfect example where it's like you had this expensive option that's going to get you exactly what you want.
Yeah.
So or this cheaper option that'll get you by, but you're going to end up spending more in the long run.
Right.
Because all the added costs that will come with that cheaper option.
So the whole pumpkin in the rear differential at that time when I found it in the junkyard was $250. Okay. So the rear differential, it was a Torsen LSD, two-way LSD that I wanted to get, which would lock and give me posi track so I can... drift, right? Because at the time, my Genesis, the 2.0 Ts, most of them had an open differential, so you couldn't spin both wheels at the same time.
Should have got the 3.8.
Should have
right.
got the 3.8, right? And that differential was over $1,000 at the time, because you had to get it, then get the gears that matched with it, and then get that installed. And there's a whole bunch of things that happen with gapping and whatnot that yeah. I ruined in the first one.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great example, especially because it's like a functioning part. It's not just like aesthetic where you're like, oh, it doesn't look exactly how I want it. That's like, my car doesn't work the way I thought it would work.
Yeah. You
know? So I think it.
And then when it did, it burned something else like the tires. And then.
Yeah, it just cost.
It was more expensive yeah. because you're like, man, now I got to spend. At the time, I was running Delentes. Thank you, Delente, for having cheap tires. But it was $120 every time I needed one tire. So it was like, ooh, yeah. $250 every 2 months.
It's like this ooh. Adds up to I could have just got what I wanted. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I feel it. What about you, Steve?
So I don't have a good example for like a past mistake necessarily, but I have a good example on something I did in terms of budgeting. That could be taken as a form of advice. And it's when I did the version 2 build of the GTI, so the blue setup. And with that setup, I was saving months and months and months in advance. It was from going from stock body to wide body. It was doing wide body, wrap, wheels, and those just alone, those are three big ticket items that cost a good amount of money. So it was a matter of budgeting, saving for months and months and months to acquire all these parts in different steps where I bought the wide body in August, ordered the wheels in July, the wheels didn't come until December, the whole process started in January. So it's like I budgeted a fairly long way out in terms of saving money, knowing what I'm going to put money towards, and then putting it all together and doing the build. And I knocked out that version of the build, wide body, wrap, wheels, and a bunch of other little things as well with that, a lot of custom work on the front bumper. I knocked that all out within 2 to 3 weeks from actually starting it after I had all the parts saved and in my hands. Mm-hmm. So it was something where it was months and months in terms of the process to get to that point. But in the long run, it was worth it because I had everything I put together that I wanted. It was just a matter of saving, budgeting, being patient with it over the month span. But it all came together fairly quick, and I was very, very satisfied with how that came out. And, yeah, I was stoked. And from there, that was a positive experience with how I handled that, and it's something that I've set kind of as a standard with myself on how will I handle things if I want to do a build, budget, buy parts, and all that. Mm-hmm. So,
and that kind of goes on to our next, I'm not going to translate to our next topic quite yet, but it will hint at it as in kind of the patience aspect is people think from a social media aspect or from an outside aspect, you got wheels, a wide body kit, suspension, wrap, and you put it on in 2 weeks.
Yep.
That's what they think, that you just bought this right now and that you slapped it on. Look how quick that went together.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah.
And so like an example as to like what was happening for me at this time, and we'll kind of relate back to our other our previous episode, how things are done for attention. At the time when I was building my car, I had a very specific vision as to what I wanted my car to look like and what I was going to budget for. And I started doing social media at the same time. Mm-hmm. As I started getting more attention, people wanted to see it happen more quickly, but I wasn't equipped to do that. So what I was doing was trying to cheat around that to get it more quickly so I could feed this audience that wanted to see me do what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And that in terms, it didn't stray my vision of what I wanted to do. It just made a big L around what I wanted, and I eventually got there, but it took me much longer because I bought multiple different variations.
Yeah.
Like your wide body process, I bought 2 wide body kits on my Genesis Coupe. The first one I did.
You did, yeah.
Yeah. I put a wide body kit on it. It wasn't exactly what I wanted, and I made this whole like makeshift thing, build it DIY, do it custom yourself. And then I then saved up money after the fact to get another kit.
So when you bought those clinch flares originally, when you bought them, you knew that you really wanted the remake kit?
Yes. So I don't even know if this is, if people would remember, or even if you remember, when I talked about the wide body kit that I was going to do, it was the remake kit, and I put a picture of it on as my thumbnail. And that's like the end vision.
Oh, okay.
But what ended up happening is because at that time, again, the kit was $1,200, $1,500, and it just was not accessible at the time because I made a hard decision with the differential.
Yeah. Other budget things.
Other budget things. And at the same time, I was again supplying the car with other parts that I was putting into it at the same time. And I was like, I can't afford to put everything at the same time. So I'm going to skate around this. What other options do I have? And there weren't any other kits for the car at the time.
This was back when like clinched was like a new thing, right?
Brand new thing that clinch actually sponsored me. A couple after I did, though, not like for the original flares, but after the fact, and they had given me parts that they had like prototyped, and they're like, oh, here, do this, which was cool. Yeah, but
that's sick. I think definitely, I mean, compared to you guys, I have the most like basic common one, which is just I bought wheels I hated within a month, you know. For my Genesis, the first, like, I had, obviously, just like you, had a very specific vision for my car. And for whatever reason, I was like, oh, CCWs? They're how much? Nah, Fairstones. And then I got those, hated them within a week. That was a waste of $1,000. And then pretty much the same thing with some more complicated coilover stuff where I tried to save some money by cutting some corners and, like, having me and a buddy like try to make some custom stuff, and it just created way more of a headache than necessary. It in the long run, it ended up working out, but if I would have, it's almost like if you just would have known what you know at the end in the beginning,
right?
Everything would be different. Even with like my current car, if I just knew exactly what I was getting myself into in more detail, I would have went about the process of installing all this stuff a lot differently than I did. And I think that's where like is the most key component, is what you learn in that process and what you take onto your next build or your other versions of the same car or anything like that.
Oh yeah, 100%. And that's something again that I want to like speak out to everybody who's viewing this, listening to this. We're not saying this is what you need to do. This is just from us, our learning experiences, having been in the car community, building multiple cars. This is something that trials and...
These are just our experiences.
Yeah.
Take them as you please. If it's something where it's beneficial to you hearing what we have to say so you could take it as advice, so be it. If you disagree, so be it. We don't mind. It's something where it's we're just sharing our experiences and seeing as it could be helpful for you possibly.
I think these disagreements tend to come from, like Tyler was saying earlier, how when you did your whole new wheels, wide body, brand new wrap, people saw that as in like your post being like, I want to do this. And then you started doing it and then it was done. So in their head, they're like, he decided he wanted it. He then ordered it, had the money, and then just built it in 2 weeks or whatever.
So with ordering the wide body kit, that was something where that came from overseas. So it's like that alone took like 2-3 months.
Yeah.
The wheels took like 3 months because I don't think people realize a lot of the time that custom wheels or any forged wheels, it's at minimum like at least 2 months.
Right. It does, a very long time.
And even right now with supply issues and whatnot, if you order three-piece wheels, it's something where it could take 5+ months. It all depends.
My 326 wheels just took 8 months.
Yeah, my SSRs took 7 months.
It's something where it takes a long time. You have to prepare for it, and it's budgeting for it. It's also planning for choosing what you really want, because if you don't get what you want and then 7 months go by and it shows up and you're like, I don't want this anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Or it's like, get what you want.
Or you messed up the measurements.
The rotiforms that I've had in the past on the GTI, I ran those through two versions of the GTI just because I loved those wheels. So I still have them, even though I'm never going to rock them again. And I'm torn on wanting to sell them because they were the wheels that I built that I did not want to half-ass it whatsoever. Mm-hmm. They were exactly what I wanted. I paid the money to get exactly what I wanted, adding like little gold accents here and there and stuff like that. So I got what I wanted. I didn't want to, pay all this money for something that's not something I want.
Yeah.
I just recently did that too with my SSRs. Unfortunately, due to the time period that we were living in when I was trying to order my wheels, we didn't have access to some of the parts that I needed. And I was like, okay, well, I just need the wheels, because unfortunately the part that I needed was just indefinite.
We don't know.
Yeah. And so I ordered lips that are, I thought, were half an inch smaller than what I expected, and I was going to run a 25 millimeter spacer.
Yeah.
Well, apparently my measurements were wrong.
Oh, no.
And now I'm running a 50 millimeter spacer.
Yo! Yeah.
And unfortunately, those parts are still on an indefinite.
Who knows? Yeah, that's the name of the game, dude.
R.I.P.
But it's like that big part where I think the biggest part to be clear to an audience about, or to be honest with, is that when you made the decision that this is what you want to do, how long did it take until you actually placed that order? Because I know, like, people saw me do the LC and they're like, oh, he just bought the car and then he just ordered bags and then he just ordered wheels and then the wheels took 8 months and that's why it took long. But in reality, I decided to purchase the LC like 8 months before I did, and then I like planned everything around that. And then same thing with the bags. I had the car, ran some like tests of exactly what I needed parts wise and stuff to make sure everything was correct, and then ordered the bags. But like on social media, it looks like I was just like, oh, got a new car, hell yeah, order bags, wheels. Hell yeah, order wheels. Yeah. But it's not that. You're just like, or especially like when I was building the RC, when I was like, oh, I want 326 power wheels, I was working valet. So then I immediately was like, okay, I'm gonna start saving now, and it's been 8 months, I can finally order these wheels.
Like one thing between the V2 setup and the V3 setup of the GTI, with the V3 setup, I went a little more extreme with like the aero. I had camber stretch tires, like it was a little bit more extreme to where I didn't really want to daily drive it. Mm-hmm. I didn't start the V3 process and put it under the knife to create it until I had enough money saved to buy a daily driver. And then once I bought the daily driver, that's when I created the V3 setup, because now I had a daily to where it's like I could reliably get to work and travel anywhere without having to deal with my crazy modified car.
Yeah.
Right. And I same thing kind of goes for not saying saving up for a daily. Unfortunately, my daily became another modified car.
That's how it goes, though.
If you're sick.
Yeah. But
and then you end up with like four cars.
Yeah.
And then you're like, ah, shit.
Four cars, a motorcycle, and then it's crazy. But like your LC, right? My Porsche, my Cayman. I owned the car for an entire year, bone stock, until it saw any modification. Mm-hmm. But during that entire year, I had 3D renderings made of what the car was going to look like, the projected everything I was going to do to it. And then I went, spent a bunch of money on it. And the parts that I did order, didn't get to me for 11 months. So I owned the car for almost 2 years before I got any of the parts that I needed to make this thing look the way that it does.
But Tyler, why is your build taking such a long time? Yeah.
And the people seeing you right now who are like just finding you,
yeah,
they don't know that. They think that, oh, you got a Cayman, now he's doing all this stuff.
Like,
but
yeah,
obviously
like
not.
Why am I seeing in progress photos for a year and it looks the same?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's that hurts my soul too.
Like, obviously there's people out there who like, they understand, and, you know, they're not, we're focusing on a majority of comments and stuff, but I think it's just, at the end of the day, just the name of the game. If you want to do a car in any way, shape, or form the way you want or the way you envision, it's just patience. And if someone, or if you're like, oh, I really want these wheels, I can't afford them right now, that doesn't mean you can't get them or you can't afford them. That just means you got to work longer. Or wait longer and until you can afford them, and then budget your daily life.
Like,
and
when I wanted the Rotiforms, I didn't want to buy I didn't want to buy like one piece wheels or something like that. Or I knew with a wide body and I needed custom specs that three piece wheels were the best option to go with to get a custom spec wheel instead of having to run spacers. Mm-hmm. So that's the process I went through, and I knew that I would have to be spending a good amount of money. So I saved accordingly. And then with that, which will be another topic that we'll talk about later, is something where if you sit down and work out, let's say, brand deals or you talk with companies, and that's a whole nother topic
that
we'll talk about. That's something that also fits into budgeting. So we'll talk about that later, but that's something that goes in line with this too.
That phase is called planning.
Planning.
Everyone thinks that phase doesn't exist. It's just I like shit. Order shit.
It just
happens.
No, it doesn't just happen. No, nothing just happens.
It's a nightmare of work.
Which translate into kind of what we've been talking about, but very seamlessly, is patience and the instant gratification that people want today of like...
Big time.
Yeah. No attention span.
Brand new car. I need it now. Wide body. Crazy. Bagged.
Why isn't it done yet?
Yeah.
Well, one thing with... new people in the scene, and then the whole instant gratification thing it's a matter of people not understanding what it takes to go that goes into a build, where people are coming from building cars on Forza and video games where it takes
10 minutes
to or even 10 seconds
to
do Click. Something like crazy with a build, and that's just simply because it's a lack of education, and that's not meant in a negative way or anything like that. It's just meant
it's the perception that's built on these platforms.
It's the perception,
right?
Yeah. They haven't built to build necessarily of that caliber, and what they see is they see builds being built on social media. They see YouTubers that have endless amounts of money and time, and they have a whole team to build a car, and that gets done in a week, and then they're on to another car. And then another week goes by, and they're onto another car.
And they don't realize when they're watching these people on social media, your favorite YouTubers, they've planned this months in advance, ordered all those parts, and while they were building another car,
it's all behind the scenes. Yeah.
They had all these other parts that were coming in.
It's the classic thing of social media where people only show what they want to show.
Right.
They're not showing you the behind the scenes, and they're not showing you the 8 months of waiting and logistics, because that's not entertaining. That's not entertaining content. So
exactly.
It's tough, especially on my case, where I'm in the process of a bunch of logistics, but I'm still trying to create content that's entertaining with it. But then I'm getting you're posting the same stuff, or finish it already.
Yeah, I'm trying, bro.
And it's like,
we're trying.
Yeah.
I'm doing a lot, even though I'm not posting. It's like there's a lot going on, and there's a big process to it.
Yeah, so, when people constantly comment at me like I'm doing nothing, it's like, bro, I just sanded for 5 hours. What do you mean I'm not doing nothing? It looks the same, sure.
Yeah.
Or it's like, you've been building that for 2 years. It's been 8 months. Sorry.
Yeah.
People really think like 30 days is 6 months now. It's pretty crazy. But at the end of the day, it's all patience. Just have the patience to wait for what you really, really want, and not what you think will just hold you over for the time being, because you'll end up spending quadruple the money in the long run.
Yeah.
So with that, in terms of patience and I guess waiting for things that are cool and might be worth it is
things we've waited for a really long time.
Well,
going into three new cars that just came out that you have the opportunity to wait, save your money for, so you and get something that's new and cool.
And one of those being something that we've all waited for a long time. I know, maybe not so much you, Steven, because you're not a JDM guy. You're all Euro and everything. But the new Z, a new Nissan Z car that is...
So with these three cars we're about to talk about, it moves into our current event. And what we're going to be talking about is three freshly released cars to the market. One being the new Nissan Z, the second being the Toyota GR Corolla, and the third being the Subaru BRZ Toyota 86.
And can I open this one up by saying I've never been a Corolla guy, but this thing is sick.
They're so sick, dude.
This thing is so sick.
It's got three exhausts.
I'm not a fan of like the base Corolla.
Mm-hmm. No.
But I kind of am.
The new body style.
That was my last shout out. Sorry.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was.
the GR body, like, I like it a lot. And one thing that I get comments on, people are comparing my custom wide body to like, oh, bro, you're making it look like the GR Corolla. Which is like
GR sick.
Which, like, I take it as a compliment too, because honestly, they did a great job with designing that GR Corolla. Mm-hmm. And the cool thing about it, it's a three cylinder pushing 300 horsepower.
Yeah, three cylinder pushing 300. Not only that, it's all wheel drive. It's like an actual tuner car that people are kind of hyped about in the scene, can rally potentially.
I'm excited to see the potential of people tuning that car and pushing the capabilities with that 1.6 liter three cylinder.
This is.
Watch out, GTI kids.
Yeah, watch out, GTI kids.
Crackle tunes away.
Yeah. This is the first time I've been, like, stoked about a Toyota Corolla version car, because I know, like, people like Tanner Faust and things like they've had these promotional cars that went fast and were ridiculous.
Yeah, but they're race cars.
They're race cars, but this is the first time we've been seeing stateside, we'll say stateside, that we've seen the, we'll be now given the opportunity to have people get these stateside and do some cool stuff with them.
Yeah, and not only, I mean, not to branch out too far, but I really think we're coming into a new, very important age right now where we have a new Supra, we have a new NSX,
right.
We have a new Corolla GR, we have new a new Z. What else? There's others that I'm forgetting, but we're shaping up to be another maybe 90s period.
It's going
period.
Into
right,
kind of like a new tuner market in a way, which is needed because there's a lot of flack on the tuner market.
Yeah.
So
because it fell off for so long,
right?
All we were getting was like Maximas and just commuter cars, and now they're like, there is that audience there for
and,
it.
And rolling it back to what you were hyped about, that we're getting into another 90s period, the 86 itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's huge.
Right.
I love the new one. I think it really grew on me. I didn't like it at first.
I didn't like it at first. Like, I saw it at the LA Auto Show or whatever in person. I was just like, it's small. There's plastic. Then I also have to remember.
It's better than the last one.
It's a base car.
Yeah, it's cool.
They did certain aspects of the styling, which I like. I personally like the rear end.
Yeah, like,
I like the look of the rear end. It looks like an aggressive car, especially when you do some tasteful stuff to it.
I really like those headlights.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. A lot of people were hating on the front end. I was like, I kind of like the front end.
No, that's sick.
Big
fan.
The one car out of the three that I personally like the most, I don't know about
guys'
opinion.
What would you guys pick if you had to pick one?
I like the Z a lot.
I'm taking
the
Z.
Damn, I'm taking the Corolla.
But I like the Z just because the design language throws back to the original Z well.
And I honestly, we've all had the thought. All car people have had the thought, like, yo, what if these companies did like a
throwback,
a new 240 that's only
heritage
like slightly different.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right.
Where it's like the Supra, in my opinion, kind of fell short on the heritage aspect.
Yeah, because
the new Supra is still a great car, but it fell short on the heritage aspect to the Mark IV Supra.
Yeah.
The Z, in my opinion, did a great job on the heritage aspect in comparison to the original Z.
100%.
It did a great job. Like the whole front end design with the long nose, the headlight design, the taillights, everything plays in part with the old design language, but freshened up.
In a modern way,
exactly.
I'm just so excited to see where this spirals into because, I mean, I've never been alive at the time where these things
cool
are starting
out,
to be developed in a way more serious way.
Right, because when we were all coming up, actually, there wasn't anything really ridiculous that was being made other than, like, a GTR, something that was unobtainable.
Like high-end stuff.
Higher-end stuff that was cool. Now we're getting your base, we'll say base level, because that's another topic that I have an opinion on, is that these cars are still getting a little bit priced out of out of reach for the people who would appreciate
especially it. Especially in this dealer markup era.
Oh, God.
Yeah, let's not even talk about that part. But, you know, it's it will give it some time. Yeah. Prices will come down, all that kind of stuff. Used market, but...
Right.
I'm excited to see what people can do to these cars.
Right.
Yeah. I think overall it's just a net positive for everybody.
I think we also live in a time frame in which aftermarket companies have never produced products faster.
Oh, yeah. They're scanning the day it comes out. Like,
even before that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. These companies are getting their hands on like the first car in that state, immediately doing R&D. And even before that, they get test vehicles before even the release. Yeah. And they already have a full kit made before... people actually get the hands their hands on the car. Like I've heard people ordering parts and kits for their car
that hasn't released
and it hasn't even arrived yet because there's also been delays with the new market. Mm-hmm. So people are having to wait like 7-8 months. So it's like people are getting their parts beforehand and everything too.
Yeah. Like Pandem already has a Rocket Bunny kit for the GR for the Corolla.
Yeah.
And it's already ridiculous and you're like, man, this thing looks sick.
Well, there's companies that, like, even for the Z, for the 86.
Right.
Like,
released that Formula D
started
this weekend.
Before people got their hands on the car. And that's crazy because, like, in my case where I'm going into kind of, like, creating body part, like, body kits and stuff like that. Hmm. And I'm going to dive into probably other cars after the GTI and stuff like that, and it sets a tone in terms of production where it's like you have to be on it if you want to develop something new.
Yeah.
And putting the money where the mouth is.
Yeah, you really gotta
definitely
pull up, dude.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I'm just so stoked to see some like action in that market again, because like I was born in 95. Nothing really.
Shout out all 95ers. Yeah.
Like we missed like the golden era, and this could potentially be, if it continues in this way, another eventual golden era when looking
cars,
back at it.
Right.
Obviously now people are like, oh, new cars are stupid and dumb. But you know, those are.
I don't think we've ever seen from our community, like a, we'll say a younger age group, have ever been this excited for new car releases.
Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool that companies are listening.
Mm-hmm. Finally.
Somewhat.
But
kind
I
of,
think,
yeah.
I think with that being said, like, just all around high hopes for the future of the car industry. And
I truly hope so.
Yeah.
There's definitely progress being made behind the scenes that a lot of people don't realize in terms of the car scene side, the industry side with SEMA. There's a lot of behind the scenes stuff going on that people don't really know about. But they will very, very soon.
Yeah, so. Where's that S16, bro?
Yeah, the S.
Anyways, I think that's a good place to wrap it. You guys want to go into the shout outs?
Yeah, let's
late night call late out.
That was loud.
Yeah,
I'll take it.
So beginning with late night call outs, we'll begin with Alex.
Oh shoot. Okay.
I
thought you were gonna go to Tyler.
Yeah, I was excited for it, but
so,
that's fine.
So my call out this week, shout out the homie. Yellow 40, that's just my favorite 240 ever. Big Zenki guy, big Minerva guy, big Tuck guy, big Yellow guy.
Ooh,
don't take that out of context. Jesus Christ. but yeah, 326 swing, little I believe BN kid. Yeah, if I remember correctly, it's on the screen right now. If you're not looking at it, but it just makes me happy to see a car with like bright but not obnoxious styling. Like, it's very in your face, but still clean, you know? And it's not too crazy camber. It's not anything, like, stupid. It's just very...
tastefully done.
Yeah, it's just well done, dude.
Do you like everything with a 326 wing on it?
My cars have never had one, so that should answer your question.
What do you mean? You didn't put one on the Genesis?
No. Should've. That's the one car I wish I would've, but I wasn't even... cool enough to know what that is probably yet until like the end, and I was like, I'm gonna sell it anyways. But anyways, shout out Yellow 40, you're doing crazy shit. Shout out everybody over at Karuma, to be honest. But awesome. What about you guys,
Tyler?
So, my shout out today, it's not just because I drive a Porsche and I've recently turned into a Euro guy all of a sudden.
Liar.
Not a bad thing.
Is a bad thing.
Ryan Cause, building the 996 slant nose. It is absolutely ridiculous. This thing is a full metalwork wide body slant nose, which is something I personally have not seen before.
Not fiberglass.
Not fiberglass. Metal. All metalwork. And this thing, every time I'm watching a video of this guy making these minute, he's like, oh, I didn't like the radius of the corner of the taillight. And he cuts it out and then does all this fine, crazy metalwork and makes it just absolutely beautiful. I know they recently put epoxy on all of it. It's going into paint, and I am stoked to see this thing come to life. And he's documenting it all now on YouTube, and I'm stoked to see the whole series.
He does a very good job documenting, like, his TikTok and Instagram as well.
Yeah.
Like, he's always posting videos on every step, even mistakes that he makes. And
oh, yeah. Very transparent.
So,
yeah.
I'm going to go there right after this and comment, why isn't it done, bro? I did this so much faster on Forza.
Exactly.
Ryan Cause, if you ever are out this way, can you please bless my Porsche with some of your metalwork?
That'd be fire. What about you, Steve? Steven?
So, speaking about Porsches, doing
you're
kind
not
of a
Porsche, huh?
Yeah, doing a twofer on this one.
Come to the dark side.
So whack. Who I'm calling out is Miles Works Automotive, and he's out in the UK. Damn, I've already done two UK callouts.
Yeah. Oh, you're such a Euro guy.
You're such a Euro guy, dude.
We get it.
But these cars are sick. I'm not going to take it.
So these Porsches that he builds, and he pretty much, this company's based off of doing a wide body kit for 911s. So newer 911s like the 996. And these kits are absolutely insane. His level of craftsmanship, building these kits, shaping it, the production work, it's top notch. He does not skip any steps with it. It is full fiberglass work, and he's going through the full shaping process, modeling it, creating the production molds, creating the pieces, everything. The work he puts into this stuff is insane, and I've loved following pretty much the process where he's going into different models of the 996, different models of the Porsches, expanding his the types of of kits that he's putting out there. But
and in expanding these Porsches quite literally, because they are wide.
They are like literally one of his kits is called ultra wide. Like, it's ultra for a reason.
Yeah, when you think of a wide body, it's like double it, because thing is wide.
Is it as wide as the 326 Gundam kit? That should have a measuring contest.
Yeah.
Well, Porsches are already wide to begin with in terms of the 911, so
yeah.
Add
maybe
like 3 more inches.
Yeah. Boy, what are you talking about? My FRS is so wide.
Oh, man.
Anyways.
But, yeah, with that said, I think those were 3 solid call-outs.
Shout-out to everybody that we just talked about. Yeah.
Yeah, very unique stuff, and something where our purpose with the call-outs is to recognize some people, some companies, some builds that showcase their work in the means of the car world.
People we appreciate.
People we appreciate, definitely. And with that, I think that's a good way to wrap up this podcast. Thank you guys so much for watching.
Yep.
If you guys are watching this on YouTube, please, if you like this video, like it. Let us know in the comments down below.
Hit that bell button.
Yeah.
Hit that bell button.
Get the notifications every time we post. 9 o'clock on Wednesdays. But if you didn't like it, DM us. Comment down below. Tell us what you didn't like about it.
Yeah. Block me, unblock me, then message me, then block me again.
If you didn't like it, DM Tyler. I don't want to hear about it anymore.
Just him.
Yeah.
No.
You can follow Alex at
Alex.Burley, dead on Alex on TikTok.
Follow Steven.
Typical Steven on everything.
And myself at Tyler Cordura on everything, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. Thank you guys so much for watching.
Yeah. That being said, deuces.
We're out of here. Bye.
Peace.
Later. Don't follow me.
All right. I got to stand up.